I'm going to continue sort of what we started last week. Last week we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to back up a little bit this week and just look at verses 1 through 6. And there's no theological basis to that whatsoever. I just wanted last week for us to remember who we are in Christ. And first of all, we remember that we're jars of clay, is what Paul calls it. We are just broken bodies. We are physical beings in which cracks occur and breaks occur, and we can't trust our physical selves, can we, very much? Ben Franklin used to do a lot of witty sayings, and one of his was, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm a night person, and none of those three apply to me at all. So it's, you know, it's just we are broken vessels. That's who we are. We're human. But in that, we can be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember last week, we sort of parked on a couple of verses. Let me share those again, where Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Each of the first words of those couplets, if you will, are talk about the world. And the second words talk about our relationship with the Lord. We are persecuted, but he will not abandon us. We are struck down, but in God we will never be destroyed. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We're hard-pressed. In other words, we're sort of cornered quite often. We feel cornered sometimes in being a Christian, you know, and how do I answer this? How do I get out of this situation? But we are not there. God provides for us a way through his word and through his love and through his spirit to continue on in every situation and to overcome that situation in the Lord's grace and in the Lord's mercy. So let me read the first six verses for you, and let's talk about this for a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, first verse. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Let me say it again. The light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When you want to know who God is, here you are. This is who he is, Paul says. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for allowing us to be overcomers. Thank you for allowing us to take your all-surpassing power, Lord, as our own, to go beyond and to go above and to knock down the evil that would draw us away and the things that would keep us distracted from you. Thank you, Lord, for being with us right here and right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul has something to say about what it is to be a person of integrity, to be an overcomer in Christ, but then how do we serve him with total honesty, with total integrity? How do we stand courageously instead of wishy-washying our story? How do we come and how do we approach people to share our lives and God with them? As you know, we're working on becoming a missional church. And that's sort of cool because it more reminds us that we're going to be looking a little more one-on-one with people, with our neighbors, with those around us. Not just getting out there, which is great, you know, as a group and as missions and all that's fantastic. But also in our personal lives, to go out and to not be afraid to go up to someone and say, hi, I'm Dave. I'd like to get to know you. And I've told you last week a little bit about my teacher in this. His name is Crosby. He's a 17-pound poodle Cairn Terrier mix. And he is so much better at missional than I could ever be. We go around the circle, around the block at night and take a walk around. And as soon as he sees anyone, this little abused dog who had had such a rotten life and had been so abused and so neglected and so just full of infections and infestations and everything else you could ever imagine, we got his physical self all cleaned up and ready to go. And we said, what is his attitude going to be like? Is he going to be like I would be, you know, vengeful and I want to get back at those who did me wrong? Not at all. This little 17-pound furball is a missional dog. Actually, a missional mutt. You know, he does not hesitate when he sees someone to say, that's a person I can love right there. And he can't wait to meet new people and their dogs, of course, to meet new friends. And it's embarrassing for me to think of how open he is for that and how naturally that comes to this dog with unconditional love and how hard it is for me to walk around and to get to know my neighbors. Because of Crosby, I've met about 8 people that I haven't met in 15 years. I've lived on this in the same house for 15 years now. And in the past 6 months, I've also all of a sudden started meeting neighbors. And we all know the dog's names that we have. We all know everybody's dog's names, but we don't know each other's names. You know, and I'm saying, wow, how many opportunities have I missed over the years to reach out and to love and to serve others? And so that's why I started last week with who we are. We are jars of clay. We are often lacking a great deal of confidence in how we should pursue what the Lord wants us to pursue. But we go back to the beginning of the chapter, and Paul reminds us of something. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. You have a ministry. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, and I pray that all of you do, and if you don't, this is a great time to receive him, because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And when all else fails in this world for you, when everything caves in and crashes in on you, there's going to be one way out, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is so far beyond our understanding, isn't he? As to why things happen to us, why things happen the way they happen. But he is there. He is there. He is Lord, and he will not forsake his people. He will not leave you or forsake you when you know him as your personal Savior and Lord. So nobody leaves this place today. We've locked the doors from the outside. Nobody leaves until we all know Jesus Christ together. And I say that with, you know, tongue in cheek, but at the same time, man, we don't want to leave anyone behind, do we? We don't want to leave anyone behind. If I had opportunities to meet with folks and minister to folks and I blew those opportunities and I was too lazy and I wanted to take a nap and I just wanted to walk by their place and I didn't want to be bothered with them, shame on me. Because that's someone that might miss being with the Lord forever and ever. Not because I'm great or not because I know what I'm doing or not because of anything except that no one talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, you have the task this morning. You have the ministry if you know Jesus. And what that ministry is between you and the Lord, I guess. But at the same time, all of us have the ministry of reaching out and getting to know and developing relationships with others, not only with the people we know, but with people we may have never seen before. And how is that that we have this ministry? Paul says it's through God's mercy. It's through his mercy. The task that God has given you, whatever that might be in your life, brings with it God's strength. His all-surpassing power, Paul says a little later in the chapter. It brings with it God's strength because of his mercy for you. Because you can give yourself to him, and because when you do that, he has the strength that you need to face each day. And I got to tell you, with the physical things that are going on in my life and also the how do I put it, the loss that I've been experienced in these past few years, I pray every day, Lord, get me through the day. It's probably not the right way to pray, is it? But Lord, give me your strength. Give me your strength. Give me your strength to make it through this morning, to make it through this afternoon, to make it through this evening. And he has never failed to do that. I'm reminded of Karen, my wife, who would wake up in the morning and wouldn't be able to move a muscle. Just totally locked up with rheumatoid arthritis and so many other things. And we'd get her into the church and she would sit down at the piano and it sounded like heaven. Amen. She would play like you wouldn't believe. And then at the end of the service, in the end of the morning, she couldn't hold a cup. She couldn't do anything with her hands. That's what God does for us. He gives us the strength that we need to do the task that he has before us. And that's what Paul is saying here. We have this ministry because of the mercy of God. Isn't that amazing? It's our job to trust that God is who he says he is, and he gives us the mercy he says he gives us, and he'll give us the strength that he says he'll give us. If you don't trust that, he probably won't bother giving it to you. Because why give something to someone who won't use it? But I've chosen to say, Lord, I need your strength, and if you will give it, I will be so pleased. And I will honor you, and I will praise you, and I'll try not to make too many mistakes and say too many wrong things and do too much stupid stuff. But I want to honor you, Lord, with the strength that you give me. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's by God's mercy. How do you respond? How do you respond to that mercy, to the one who had so much mercy and love for us that he came to earth when we couldn't understand who he was, when we couldn't figure him out? He came in human form, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, walked upon this earth, showed us who God is, took our sin and our guilt to the cross, hung there only because we needed a sacrifice once and for all, and allowed himself to be put in a grave and then rose in glorious victory that we might have access to heaven, to eternal life. I am so envious of Karen because she is there. I don't know why, you know, she was taken when she was. I would have liked us to have another 10 or 20 years together for sure, or 30 or 40 or 50, you know. But she is with the Lord. She no longer is locked up physically. She is unencumbered, uninhibited, totally strong, totally perfect in all that she is. And man, am I ticked, because I'm not there. But then I remember that the Lord says, hey, I've given you the mercy, I've given you the ministry, I've given you the strength, and every day you have on this earth, you need to use that mercy and ministry and strength to be ready, to love me, to serve me, to worship me, to be sold out to Jesus Christ so that when the trumpet sounds, or when the Lord calls me home, there will be no hesitation. I'll be ready to go. He wants each of us to be ready anytime, anyway, because none of us is guaranteed the next moment. Psalm 139 reminds us that all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He knows exactly how long we're going to be here. And that's part of that understanding thing again. Why do little children sometimes go to be with the Lord? Why do things happen to us that we would not expect? It's because we're in a fallen world, first of all, where things happen. But he knows. And I thank God for Jocelyn's statement to me a few weeks ago that, you know, I don't have God's understanding, and I'm glad for that because I don't want his understanding to be as limited as mine would be. Those aren't the exact quotes. I'm sorry. You can copyright that later. Close enough. Okay. His understanding goes so far beyond me. So when things happen and I say, why, Lord? I say, wait a minute. This is what happened. He will help me deal with it. He will help me overcome it. He will help me do it honestly and openly by his strength, by his mercy, by his power, by his love. And by golly, I'm way off the track here. But that's okay. He is the one who redeemed us. How are we going to respond to that? we are going to walk and serve and have strength in the mercy and the ministry that he gives us. Paul says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Have you ever been falsely accused of something? Paul sure was. Jesus sure was. We're in good company if that has happened to you. Paul was told by his detractors that he was using underhanded methods to get people to leave the Jewish faith and become Christians, that he was sneaky and he was being clever in the way he did that and sort of underground kind of stuff, and that he was changing God's scriptures to help others, to pressure others to become Christian. He did none of that, of course, which is why he says this. We don't do any of that stuff. We don't do anything underhanded. We don't do anything covert or secretive. We are out here because we love the Lord, and this is where he wants us to be. And we can be people of integrity, honestly offering ourselves in God's service to those around us, is what he's saying. Many years ago in a church that I served, there was a a lady much younger than I. And I am so, clueless about things. Apparently she had designs on me. I'm a stud, as you know. Look at this. Hey, who wouldn't want this, And I would have never thought about that in a million years. But, sometimes people get fixated on things, rather than appearances, I guess. And she had some designs, and of course, I was clueless. I didn't know. And the signals she was sending, I certainly wasn't picking up. I mean, I was happily married for years and years. I had three kids going to school there, and, I was very content. I wasn't looking for anything else. And when her signals did not get responded to, her attitude turned around and she started spreading rumors. I guess her way to get back at this this Arnold Schwarzenegger looking kind of guy that that she was not able to develop a relationship with. And those rumors were such that I was supposedly, bedding down ladies across the street at the firehouse, and I was doing all this stuff, and how could I be a pastor? And I was just, terrible person. And what happens when a rumor starts? Even those who know that it's not true say, gee, I wonder. And that church started to become sort of a hotbed of conversation, and I wasn't involved. I had no idea any of this was going on. About people wondering what I was doing in my private life. What I was doing was serving the church and being with my family and going on calls with the fire department and rescue squad, and that was about it. But those rumors persisted, and they sort of grew. If you ever watch VeggieTales, they show you how rumors grow when those little monsters become big monsters. And when this came to my attention, not only was I totally shocked and surprised, but how do you handle this? How do you come against something like that? And I said, Lord, I need your strength, and I need your mercy, and I need you to take the scales off some eyes here, if you would. And he did. He did. And then it would take hours to tell you how that happened. But after many months of turmoil in my life, I got a call after church one day. Pastor Dave, this is Mary. I want you to know how sorry I am and how sorry we are. God has taken the scales from our eyes and we see what's going on. And we know without a doubt that all of these rumors are absolutely false. So as a congregation, we ask your forgiveness. Of course I said, no, No, I didn't know. No. I said, of course, you know, no forgiveness needed. But I want to say that just to say to you that when you depend upon the Lord, and I spend a lot of time not depending on him like I should, but when you depend upon the Lord for his mercy and his strength and his all-surpassing power and his way of getting into the situations of your life and giving you the answers that you need, when you are fully open to him, that'll happen. Those things will happen. Even when evil comes against you, as Paul says, even if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He'll do it. He has the strength. He'll even use little dogs to teach you. But he will do it. He will do it. And when people refuse to hear and when people try to put down what you're doing, Paul reminds us through the Lord that, you know, it happens. It happens. That Satan, and you know what the translation of the word Satan is, right? Satan means accuser. Satan's false accusations will get in there under the skin and will start things happening. And he will try to divide churches, and he'll try to divide families, and he'll try to divide husbands and wives. He'll try to divide friendships. Not by big explosions of things. That's not how he works. He works in the most cowardly, under-the-skin, petty ways to get those little things churning around inside you so that they can become big things so that he can then rip you apart and rip your family apart and rip your church apart and do all sorts of damage. And Paul says, guess what? Guess what? We see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, and that's what we need to concentrate on. Not upon the little stupid things that try to distract us, because Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see that light. Does that mean the end for them? No. They can still gain sight. There's always hope. But Paul says, hey, watch out for that. And know that in all of that, through God's mercy and through the ministry he's given you for the task he has for you to do, he will be with you. He will give you strength. He will walk with you down that road because he's gone through it all. He's seen the false accusations. He's seen the things that people would do to try to undermine anything of God. And he'll be with you through it all. We are jars of clay, aren't we? Jars of clay. Just stupid, cracked, broken vessels. But in that, in the power of God's Spirit, there is strength and mercy and ministry beyond anything we could hope or imagine. And I commend that to you today, that you might understand that he is indeed the God who will carry you through. He is the God of the impossible. It's impossible for me to be a pastor, but except through the Lord and except through his will for my life, I hope. Some people still are discussing that. But for his will, for his call in my life, I have no gifts in that area except the ones that he provided as he called. And he says, as he said, I'm giving you strength to do the ministry I have for you. And I praise God for that. When we have the task before us, that's when we can be totally sold out to do that task. You know, George Friedrich Handel wrote the Messiah. You remember George? Nice guy. Several hundred years ago now. And he was inspired by God to do that. If you know all of the Messiah, all 100 and whatever pages of it, all 3.5 hours it takes to sing, every part of that is God's word. It is all scripture. I shouldn't say it. Just about all scripture. And praise God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? George knew how to do choruses before we had choruses. And it, by the way, if anybody ever tells you that we shouldn't be repeating choruses in church, just give them the Hallelujah chorus. I think it's like 900 times in the one song or something that Hallelujah is repeated. Guess what? When we're with the Lord, we're going to repeat it a lot more than 900 times, aren't we? So that's just a little tiny practice for eternity with Him. But Handel was inspired to write this work. And he really felt the call of God to write it upon his life. And those, that gigantic volume of work called Handel's Messiah took 22 days. He did it all in 3 weeks and a day. That blows my mind. I work with a couple of the jazz bands locally in the Fairport schools, and I do some arranging for them, and it takes me like 8 hours to do four measures of arranging. You know, I'm just so slow that he did the whole Messiah in 22 days. Why? Because he found out what God wanted him to do, and he said, there's nothing that's going to be in my way. They said he hardly slept, he hardly ate, he just wrote and wrote and wrote because God was inspiring him to do that, and he didn't want to give up, have any kind of chance that inspiration would stop. So he just kept it going. Now, I'm not telling you not to sleep or eat. But what I'm saying is when God gives you the mercy and the strength to do what ministry he has for you to do in our jars of clay by his all-surpassing power, that's the job that should just take priority in our lives. He has a ministry for you. He has something for you to do. And Paul says, you will receive his mercy and his strength even in that jar of clay that is your body and your physical self. You will receive everything you need to do what he wants you to do. Praise God for that. And I've gone over and I apologize. I don't get too many opportunities to preach, so I have to make the most of them. The first service, they only heard the first half of the message, so you guys are very fortunate, I'm sure. But you know, I'll invite the praise team up, and I just want to close with what Jocelyn and Dee were reading earlier. Just the last part of Psalm 146. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty Counselor. He is all you need.